Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle Young
with For His Glory Ministry. Our ministry is to see and understand God's revelation, the Bible, through Hebrew eyes. Our background is a Messianic Jew, which means we're Jew by race and saved by grace, to quote David Yonoff. And we take the Bible from Genesis to Revelation at deeper levels of study, and we go step by step to take you into the deeper things of God through Hebrew eyes. Today we're going to be studying the Holy Days of Israel.
That sounds interesting, Joel. Tell me, what exactly does it mean, the Holy Days?
The Holy Days are referenced from the book of Leviticus, which is the third book of the Bible. And the Holy Days of Israel are really appointment times. These are sacred assemblies or holy convocations. These are times that God has set as special times to come to Him in specific ordained ways. They're appointments. They also are translated as rehearsals. Just like, you know, for a show, you'd rehearse only for the real thing.
Right.
Okay? So they're all to teach us the ways of God, so we learn how to walk with God. First we learn how to approach God, and then we learn how to walk with God. All right?
I guess that's why it's important that we should know what the holy days are as Christians.
God says in Hosea 4, 6a, a meaning the first part, my people perish or are destroyed for lack of the knowledge. Not just knowledge, people. In your Bibles in Hebrew, in the original text, it says the knowledge. The specific body or corpus of knowledge that God requires and desires, commands and commends us to learn. And we better know it for our life, for our good, and as good Tommy Dean, disciples, learners of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the first holiday is Passover. I just want to first list them for you, and you can reference, you should all have what? At the start of each show, you should have your
pen and paper.
Lots of paper.
And your Bible.
And a Bible, for sure. Have an English Bible or any language you use, but I'd venture, like you all, venture means real soon, like now, to get a Hebrew interlinear, which has the Hebrew on one line, the English underneath, line by line, and Hebrew-English interlinear, and often they have a parallel English text on the side to help get everybody up to speed, all right?
If you're driving, just listen.
Yes. These are being taped, and they'll be available. We'll give you at the end of the show our website address for which you can procure more information about it and about the tapes that we have in a radio show today and our book and a whole series of other tapes that are available. But now to the topic. Okay, we're going to list Leviticus Vayikra in Hebrew, Vayikra, which literally means, and he called. All right, God is the one calling. So, God called, and prayerfully we're listening. The first one is Pesach or Passover, all right? So we start with Passover, number one, two, unleavened bread, we're going to list seven, three, first fruits, all right? That's commonly wrongly called what? Easter, right? Now, Easter comes, it's not a Jewish term, it's Ishtar, which is out of pagan origins. Ishtar, Astarte, Minerva, Artemis, all those are transitional names to different pagan cultures and religions. In Hebrew, it's first fruits. Then we go to Shavuot, all right? And at that point, that's commonly used today as the term Pentecost, all right? Then we go, that's the first four. Then we go to Rosh Hashanah, for the new year, but Rosh Hashanah means head of the, all right, year, head of the year, then Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and then Sukkot, Feast of Booths, also translated Feast of Tabernacles, all right?
Are there only seven holidays?
There are other minor holidays. There are seven key holidays. These are the major ones. These are the key ones. There are others that are also, they're called minor, and others that traditionally have been taught and developed over time by the Jews and practiced over the centuries. These are the key. So the first one is Passover. And you study the Passover carefully, you'll find if you use your concordance, and remember we taught a class on learning how to learn, right?
Right.
Look up all the references to Passover. We all want to know everything God has to say about everything God has said, all right? It's mentioned 48 times in the Tanakh, or the Old Testament, 29 times in the New Testament. So you're looking on the order of 77, interesting number, times that the word Passover is mentioned, and you should study them all, and you look at its origin and all. Now, when you apply the knowledge of Passover, all right, which is often when? It's in the spring, it's in March, April. That holiday deals with the season of our emancipation, our redemption, and our freedom. The Jews are no longer slaves. There's a killing of the lamb, and you start on the Nisan 10, you set aside the lamb. Then you go, the next days, you go from Nisan 10 to 14 inclusive. There's a four-day period of the testing of the lamb to make sure the lamb is without spot or blemish. All right? Then on Nisan 14, Nisan just is the month. It's a lunar calendar in Hebrew, which corresponds to our English March or April. All right? A lamb was killed on the 14th of Nisan to be, now note this carefully, to be the main meal course to be eaten in the Passover meal that night, often called today the Seder, which means order. The 15th of Nisan, this morning, another lamb was killed to be the official Passover sacrifice. That was typically done in the temple or near the temple, and that's an important thing to distinguish. All right? Now, the matzah was what? That flat piece of
bread.
Bread, and there was unleavened, right?
No leaven.
Exactly, no leaven. Leaven in the Bible is typically, Danielle, used to represent sin, that which causes to rise. That's its typical use. Now, three qualities about that flat piece of bread, that unleavened bread, that we have to note. And we always have to have in our mind Christ, because these things are pictures, they're rehearsals, they ready our mind, they prepare our heart, they give us understanding. So when we see the Messiah, we see the full-orbed realization of everything that was spoken into this world for us to know. So we're well prepared, right? So, the three requirements for matzah are, one, that it's unleavened. Like you said, Danielle, there's no leaven. Two, it's striped, all right? This is what's done in Judaism today. It's striped because the Lord himself was beaten. Now, how many times was the Lord beaten when he was being beaten before being crucified? Sometimes you'll hear 39 times and all, but that's really under the ordinances of the Jews, but that's not really what was done, because if you remember well, he was crucified. Now, that's not a Jewish thing. That's a Roman method of execution, although the Jews, certain Jews, and really a part of the hierarchical powers that were, and the Sadducean priesthood in the main, were those that conspired to bring about the Lord's demise, although ultimately this is something the Lord had set up, and he said, no one could take my life from me. I have authority. No one could take it from me. And I lay it down, and I raise it up. He has this authority from the Father in John 10:18. John 10:18. So we see that the Lord himself was beaten under Roman law mercilessly, and the Romans called it halfway death. They beat him, and they beat him, and they beat him totally. And if you know that verse in Isaiah 53:5, it says, many translations will say, and by his
stripes.
Right, exactly. By his stripes, we are healed. Uvachavurato nirpalanu. In Hebrew,
uvachavurato nirpalanu.
Great, let's do it again.
Uvachavurato nirpalanu.
Now, the translation exactly is, which will give you much greater light, looking at it in the original, in the Hebrew text, and by his wound, singular, right, Danielle? It's not plural.
Right.
And by his wound, we are healed. Well, wait a minute. My translation say, by his stripes. Well, typically a stripe means there's a portion that's striped and there's a portion that's not. So a stripe, like a striped fence, is defined by there's a part that's striped and a part that's not. That's not what happened to the Lord. He was so beaten and marred more than any man, as you'll note at the end of Isaiah chapter 52. Look at verses 13 to 15. You'll see that the Lord was unrecognizable. He was so beaten. There was not a part of him that wasn't beaten and wounded for every part of us. It's tragic, but it's also a great testimony to his great love that he gave all of him for all of us. So people, if you're thinking if he cares if you just picture with his arms fully outstretched on that cross, totally he cares for you, for he gave himself up for all of you. He gave all of himself. And that is something to we should say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. So we see the matzah, that unleavened bread, has three qualities: unleavened, striped, pierced. Okay? Now in the Passover, we're just going to mention a few things. This is all taped on a tape series we have, you'll see on our website, called The Holy Days of Israel. We're only limited by the time today, people, on the radio show. That was a whole weekend of teaching, a multi-tape series in which you could study it and use that rewind button and go over and over it till you really get it deeply with your Bible, as Danielle said earlier, that pen and lots of paper, and learn. Be good learners, all right? And our job is to stimulate and share with you. Now today we have a modern Seder, so I just want to picture yourself, Danielle, and me sitting at a Jewish ceremony for the Passover, the Seder, and we have the...
A Seder is a dinner?
A dinner, it means order. Everything's laid out and done in order.
Okay.
Great. You have the Passover lamb, you have the unleavened bread, you have the bitter herbs as the main items there for the Paschal meal, all right? And there's several others, but we'll focus on that. So picture it at the meal. And you have on the table a bag, one bag with three of those pieces of unleavened bread, the matzot, the matzah in there. And we take one of them out. We take out the
middle one.
And now, Christologically, we understand it relates to the Father,
the Son,
the middle one is
right,
the Son.
Is the Son.
Good. And the third is the
Holy Spirit.
Now, in Jewish terms, there are several opinions of that, but it's not clear. But it's clear in Messianic or Christological terms. So I want you to picture the prophetic scene here, people. What we practice every year at dinner has been done for the whole world by the Lord Himself. Okay? Yes, Danielle?
You did say that these holidays were rehearsals, so this actually happened.
Good point. Yes, exactly. They are rehearsals, and you only rehearse like for a Broadway show or something. Exactly, for the real show. No one just keeps rehearsing for rehearsing.
Right.
That's not right. All right, good. Great idea. Now, middle one is taken out, and it's very interesting. Then it's broken. Part of it is wrapped up and then taken out to be eaten at the end of the meal. All right? At which point, when it's unwrapped, it's divided up and there's enough for everyone. But what does that relate to? The middle one is the
Son.
And he comes out of?
Heaven.
Oh, good. The Son comes out of heaven. He comes to earth. He's
broken.
He's broken. That's the cross. That's the crucifixion. People study Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53, which really is from the chapter before three verses, chapter 52, 13, 14, 15. All the way to the end of 53. It's really 15 verses, not just the 12 of 53, but go back three. So Psalm 22 and 53 and go back three into 52. So he's broken, right? And then it's wrapped up. The Lord is buried in a wrapping cloth, and he's what? He's
buried.
Oh, he's buried, right? And then he's taken out later. He's raised. And then what we do with the matzah is we break it up and we give everybody a piece. It's what they also did at the Last Supper, because the Lord gives of himself. Take of me. This is my body.
Sounds like communion.
Communion is exactly right. And you know where communion comes from? Right out of the Passover. So if we knew the Passover, we would know how it's practiced. We would see easily what is done through communion, the Eucharist, because the bread and wine, there were actually four cups of wine that were taken at Passover. First is the cup of blessing or thanksgiving that starts the Passover. That's the first cup, the blessing or thanksgiving that starts the Passover. Two, the cup of plagues, where you take 10 drops, one for each of the plagues. That's the second cup. Cup of blessing, one, or thanksgiving. Two, the cup of plagues. Three, the cup of redemption, which symbolizes the blood of the literal lamb of Egypt that saved the Jews from the 10th plague, or the destruction of the firstborn. Then the cup of praise, the fourth one, as we come to the very end of the Passover, and they would sing the songs from the book of Psalms. Psalms 113 to 118 are sung. Now let's relate two of these to our Lord Christ, who is a Jew and a Savior for the whole world. When he had his apostles at a Passover, right? The Last Supper was a Passover.
Right.
Good. So what he did, he took the bread and he took the wine. But what part of the bread? He took the
middle
one, exactly, the afikomen, and he also took a glass of wine, but that happened to be the third cup, the cup of redemption. So look at the picture. Here's the blood of the Redeemer with the cup of redemption practiced by Jews worldwide for centuries, and the middle matzah that was broken and now going to be divided up and shared with all of his own. All right, that would be taken. We see that it's broken and its parts, it's shared, and then later the remainder of it. All right, so there's tremendous things, and you need to study the Passover people very carefully. We could spend much time on the Passover, but I just want to highlight the next one. The next holiday, the second, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Chag Hamatzot. All right, this is typically a 7-day practice, and the Jews do not eat bread, leavened bread, for the entire 7 days. Now, what did leaven represent again?
Sin.
Sin. So what is the emblem here for 7 days? A week, right? Representing like a whole week of creation, all right? Seven is a complete number, often used for perfection, but more accurately for completion in many texts, but both are true. 7 days, no leaven, no sin. So once we see the Lord himself crucified, Chag HaMatzot, all right, we see this represents also the burial of the Lord, and we are not to take any leaven, no sin, we're to walk sinless, all right? Now, in the Bible, originally, this was practiced as two separate holidays, and it still should be. Often, it's been coalesced in modern Judaism into one, all right? That's been done. That's the way it is today.
You mean Passover and unleavened bread were usually celebrated as one?
No, I'm sorry. They were celebrated as two. Modern Judaism has often brought them to be celebrated as one.
Okay.
But when you go back to the Bible, you see there are two separate holidays, and I refer you back again, everyone, to Leviticus 23. Now, the third holiday is the Feast of First Fruits. Chag means holiday. Chag HaBikurim. This is the Feast of First Fruits, all right? And it's derived from what occurred on this day, which is the spring harvest or the barley harvest, all right? This particular holiday, from a Christological point of view, you want to be very, very, very sensitive to, everyone, because this is the holiday in which we see the Lord himself is raised from the dead. It's fulfilled by the Messiah's resurrection, all right? What this would emblify, all right, for us is the most important day of his coming, of our faith. For if the Lord has not been resurrected, people, we don't have that faith. All right? Christ is the first fruits of those who are asleep. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, 20-23, you want to study the resurrection, because typically the first resurrection that the Lord speaks about in the Bible is in stages, and that's often missed. So please be sensitive to that. Jesus Christ is the first fruit. So if you say first, then it must be a
second
and a
third
and a
fourth,
and then eventually us, right?
Right.
So each in order, all right? So Jesus Christ is the first one raised from the dead. Then we see, of course, the church saints will be raised. We call that the rapture. The two witnesses in Revelation, the Old Testament saints following that. Then the tribulation saints, and these are all different stages of what is called biblically the first resurrection, that's for believers only. So let's review. We have three holidays that are in the spring that were done so far. The first one is
Passover.
The second one is
unleavened bread.
The third one is
first fruits.
Perfect. Those are the first three, all right? Now, we proceed then to the fourth, commonly known in English as Pentecost, as we see in Acts chapter 2 in the New Testament. The name in Leviticus 23, the name as we understand it, is Chag Shavuot, all right? This is Shavuot. Now, it's a special time. This is after the Passover, 50 days later. I want to bring something to your attention. On Passover, we recognize and celebrate the death of the Messiah, Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus, number one. Two, unleavened bread is the sinlessness of his blood sacrifice. There was no leaven, and we are to walk in the sinlessness of his blood and his life. That's what we must do every single day, right? How long?
Every day.
Every day. That's the command. Third is first fruits with the Messiah's resurrection, all right? So the next holiday being the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, or Shavuot. This is technically the church's birthday. This is, we find that also that each holiday was fulfilled to the day by the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's seven key holidays we're studying in Leviticus 23, right, Danielle?
Right.
Each one we've done so far, the first three, Passover, was fulfilled on the day of Passover by the Lord Jesus Christ in his death. Unleavened bread, the sinlessness of his blood sacrifice, he's interned, he's buried. Three, first fruits, Yom HaBikurim, the Messiah's resurrection, each one to the day. Next, the Feast of Weeks. This is Shavuot. This is Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover. This is the church's birthday, and we find that the Holy Spirit was given on this day. It's also celebrated in Judaism that God gave the Torah on the same day on Mount Sinai. So it's very interesting. Here the Spirit is given, so this is the church's birthday. All right? Now, we see that the church is his body in Colossians 1:18. Also, we notice that two loaves that are used, two loaves of bread on one sheet. Two loaves, but as one.
Right.
Then I refer you to Ephesians 2, all right? Ephesians 2, verse 11, to chapter 3, verse 7. Now, take a look carefully and study carefully. The one body is representing the two loaves of Jew and Gentile. We come together. There's sin, all right? That's the leaven. So with the leaven, we notice the loaves are made with wheat. In the New Testament, we see that associated with salvation and evangelism of the church. I also enjoin you to study Caleb and Joshua very carefully. Because in Caleb and with Joshua, we see how they both represent some very interesting typology here. We see that Caleb is the son of Jephunneh. But if you study it there very carefully and do your studies in the genealogies, and look up all the references to Caleb, and I mean every one, the son of Jephunneh, all right, you'll find that his father was a Kenizzite, all right? And you can track that all the way back to finding out the fact that he is, though, in the tribe of Judah, originally a, what? His father, a Gentile.
Gentile.
And Joshua is a Jew. So I want you to see the picture. You see Joshua and Caleb coming out of the Exodus with Moses, and they go into the Holy Land, Joshua and Caleb, representing Joshua the Jew, Caleb the Gentile. They go in as one, both Jew and Gentile, into the Holy Land of Israel together. And that's quite a picture. All right? Now, the first four holidays have been fulfilled to the day. I see we're running out of time soon, so I'm going to bring this together, and we're going to do another show to complete the fall holidays in a little more depth. And we can see how this all flows together in the holy days of Israel that give you prophetic pictures of our Lord Jesus Christ and his life and our relationship to him. Because you're studying the past to know the present, you're also learning it in the present to prepare for the future, because you see these holidays in the main are also done in the future. So this is part of your resume, everyone. You're studying the past to understand the present, to know the ways of God, and prepare for the future by your faithfulness in the present. That's important. And that's what we're all called to do. So let's study these holy days very carefully. And I want you to remember, you're going to find in Leviticus 23, verse 22, and coordinate with that, John 4, chapter 4, verse 35, there's a four-month period that's mentioned there, and that'll prepare you for the next show. There's a four-month period between the spring and fall holidays. But in John chapter 4, verse 35, you're going to find a very interesting phraseology in which the Lord himself gives a signal. And remember, these people have already memorized the Bible. He said, "Do you not say, there are yet 4 months, and then the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white for harvest." And we'll continue on the next show. Thank you.